I'm Patricia Methven. I am Director of Archives and Information Management at King's College London and lead owner, I guess, in some ways, of AIM25, which is a 120 partnership of HE and other bodies in London to make collection level descriptions available. That service is hosted by University of London Computing Centre. And we are one of the partners of the latest round that Joy was explaining of AIM25 and linked data. So if I begin to sound occasionally like a backwoodsman in this, it's not, because it's more about trying to look at what the landscape might be. What I'm going to do now is talk briefly about a possible survey, its desirability and feasibility, and the appetite we might have for it as an archival community. And the origins for this paper that are in the JISC RLUK Discovery Task Force, partly because I went to the JISC annual conference last year and went to a sideshow presentation on the work of the task force and was completely mystified by the lack of reference to archives, despite the fact I'd heard the background about other work. So I sort of stood up at the thing and said, well, what about archives? And he said, yes, we'll consult you. And then the next thing that happened is some of us, not all of us, saw a London Library retrospective cataloguing survey, which was theoretically supported by RLUK, and I think in the background MIMAS rather than issued by MIMAS, but Joy can correct me about that, which...
We weren't part of that.
You weren't part of it, or no. We were told you were something to do with it, but anyway, I had a feeling that might not be right. So the survey was put in sort of the picture of JISC and RLUK, and asked a number of questions about collections, including archives, but was really quite a difficult one for archivists actually to handle. And I wasn't completely surprised that very few archival institutions saw it, answered it, and in fact, because it was launched in the summer, very few libraries answered it either. So, for example, there were 70 out of the 200 members of the scholar community that answered. The visceral response was the first one, and I'm not dignifying this. It seemed oddly targeted. The questions didn't evoke answers that were comparable for the archive sector. An emphasis on retroconversion begged the question about the uncatalogued material. There was insufficient awareness in the questioning about the aggregators already in use, be it AIM25, A2A, Hub, Archive Wales, Scan. Didn't address the growth of digital archives, those born digital things that we were hearing about in our very first presentation this morning. Didn't address digital access to surrogates sufficiently. So, and frankly, despite the fact that I said I was starting in the backwoodsman territory, it actually felt extraordinarily old-fashioned. Tried to get a handle on what this was all about, what JISC was trying to do with the survey. And the answer came back eventually is resource discovery. It's less clear to me that it was quite why JISC was that at that point, because yesterday, at this technical thing, it was all about metadata, but I mean, metadata is the route to resource discovery, so it's not a conflict. But where the RLUK community was saying it wanted to know more about the hidden treasures, it wanted perhaps to put all the information about the hidden treasures somewhere. And that to me seemed a bit barking, because that's what we thought all our aggregators were doing. Or there's plenty of opportunities, and there's always, of course, the Archon. There's lots of available areas in that. But resource discovery is something that has been certainly driving RLUK for a long time. Lots of surveys over time, and I'm just picking up a few of them here. 1997, making the most of our library, 50 million records awaiting retroconversion. Led to some serious funding allocated to RSLP and 14 million items covered, so it's a serious money. A RIN study, the Research Information Network study, 50% of research collections still hidden. I don't really know what that meant, but it was a sort of working figure, and it's a driver behind linked data, it's a driver behind the Discovery Task Force and so forth. So this is a climate that we've begun to work in. Well, Leslie Richmond and I had some phone calls about this survey, and doubtless others made our views felt to RLUK in particular, and said, well, really, this is a bit of a pointless document, so can we do something different? Can we encourage you to ask some more questions that might get some more answers? The questionnaire I've circulated round, so grab one if there's plenty of spares, if you haven't got one already, if you come in a bit later. So they are around. It's very much a draft. It was aimed initially at the HE community. Royal UK quite liked it. It's been discussed at the last UCAD steering committee as potentially applicable and useful more widely. I'll just run through the questionnaire. I'm not going to go through it in detail. We called it Opening the Treasury just for the fun of it. What we're trying to get at was the scope of work we could be doing, the scale of the work, and frankly, whether we can or should do it now. We think it's timely because we think aggregators have come of age and are all more or less in differing ways considering the next steps. David has talked about Archives Wales. Caroline mentioned SCAN. I know some discussions are happening around the Archives Hub about next steps, and that ties in with linked data. AIM25 is certainly looking at linked data and next steps and building the partnership further. So we're all beginning to think, what next? There are, we've heard admirably described this morning, significant advances in how we can offer access to raw data. And I think, generally speaking, there's a renewed appetite for information on which to build a strategy for discovery and data management. We've heard about that already. And I think that's as true of the archival community as any other. There are research, renewed drivers in the research communities to open up their data, as well as publications. People like the Wellcome Foundation are putting money into open access. Let's get all, not just the publications into the open data, open domain, let's get the raw research data. And there are more and more of the research councils beginning to say that that could be a driver for research. So it's digitally created material, make it available digitally. We see library communities seeking a role in this new world. Why? Well, I speak wearing my library hat at King's College as well, because libraries are seeing an increasing homogenisation in the work that they do. What we're seeing is more and more stuff bought online. There are some areas in science, technology and medicine where the hard copy book is not very far away, going to be a thing of the past. What are libraries aiming for now to be different? I mean, what universities are now thinking about? Well, okay, there's this wonderful conglomerate, fantastic online information that we're probably all going to end up with the same sort of stuff because of the good work Just Collections is doing, which is sort of doing national, more and more national negotiations. So what you hear in things like RLUK, the library, the research libraries, is what are we doing that's different? What makes Cambridge different from King's College, makes whoever different from whatever? So obviously there's the academic side of it, but on the library side, actually what's different is the strength of the special collections and the strength of the archives. And that's not been lost on our paymasters. So where in times gone by we might have been saying we're the second-class citizens because we don't run the numbers of people through the door, what we're now all beginning to look at is this is a fantastic resource, it's a unique selling point, it's something that we can really work with our students and our master's programmes. So we've gone from a situation where we had a sort of regular clientele of master's programmes using archives directly through to a situation where we've gone to 30+. In 2 years, we've had a 300% increase in our usership of student base simply for this. And we're now moving to a situation where we're expecting use of archives, like I know it is in LSE already, to be a core component in core teaching. And I think that's the sort of area where archives are driving a very different agenda. Something that's common to all of us is the wider services agenda. We clearly need to know what we might be sharing. And of course, the impact of recession. It's all very well for us to talk about fantastic things we can do with linked data and cataloguing and getting more students through the doors. But that's not terribly good when you've just lost half your staff, or indeed most of your staff. That's the real world, unfortunately. So these are just a few slides about the questionnaires, the questionnaire I've given you back. And if there's time, by all means, tell me anything you think about it later. I'm happy to take email comments as well. But it basically covers how much of our archives are catalogued, at what level, how well are they catalogued, accession, box list, fond. This is not rocket science, any of this stuff. Extents at each category. How standards-based are they, the extents? Familiar to everybody in this room, I'm sure. what form are they in, hard copy? Now, this was one where we thought there's probably very little precedence for enough information about how those catalogues are held, because there's quite a big spread between hard copy through to something that might be in linked data and everything in between. There's quite a lot of ignorance about how far catalogues are embedded in library catalogues and museums catalogues. Some people are going, attempting to go down the Primo route, some people are putting in links, some people are doing it with museum catalogues, and some people are still standing alone. Not too much information around how much real support there is using indexes, thesauruses, or indeed whether we should be doing that. Not too much information about how much of this is supported by community-generated content, and I think not too much information about how we're using the semantic tools that are available to us when we have them. Because there is a piece of logic around that says, should we be really cataloguing some of this stuff at all? Why don't we just go down to the semantic approach? Which is arguable, I think. And then what's the exposure in the institutional only? Some people have got online catalogues that you can't get at outside their own institution. Are they genuinely open to Google? Or are they open through a portal or indeed Google? Stuff about crosswalks, Primo, I've mentioned, semantic webs, and the latest kid on the block, linked data, which to me has fantastic possibilities, but also I suspect fantastic amount of work attached to it, which we'll have to see. And then the enrichment of online access through links to individual surrogates, full digital databases themed or whole collections, contributions of digital surrogates to externally hosted sites, online exhibitions, focused articles, because we do, most of us, a lot more than just put the catalogue up. And then something that'll be familiar to those that do much work with schools or universities, significant content provision to virtual learning environments. So we're actually doing a lot in this big environment, but I don't think as a community we've got a great deal of information about what that is. And then you know, there's more examples of online enrichment, image galleries, Flickr, RSS feeds, Twitter. Again, increasingly they're becoming de rigueur, they're not hard to do, we can do them, most of us have a good pop at doing it. So that's the questionnaire, you've got it in front of you, feedback if you want to. Well, the next possible steps, if we go forward with this, if we think it's worth the effort, and RLUK does, and their enthusiasm is not that we dish out a questionnaire and produce yet another report, but that we put something together that would be an enduring tool to bring information about the state of the art of where we are together. So their suggestion is that we create some sort of back-end tool to hold and crunch the data, perhaps on a 3-year trial, and they are prepared to put a bit of money in for it. They are also looking at something similar to host the library survey material, but that would be more along information about the hidden collections, which is more, I think, the special collections area, potentially. So I don't think we're talking about the same tool. And when Leslie and I were talking about this, I mean, our first sense was that we didn't want to build a tool in a new location if we went that way, because it did seem like something that ought to fit quite naturally with Archon or Scan or Archives Wales. There's a sort of bring it together with the big national information sets that we do have. The suggestion if we go that route is that the individual institutions would then update in the same way as you might update Archon. Now, why, I guess, perhaps before I say any more about it, I think the reason we think this needs to happen is that there's a great deal of discussion about national strategy and shared services, but not a great deal of information about what our landscape looks like. And certainly in the past, when we did the last big HE piece of work around this, it did result in some very significant funding. In fact, the biggest chunk of funding we've ever had into the archives community on the Follett project. Similarly informed the RSLP. So our sense is that although we are living in a recession, if we actually get our ducks in a row, we stand a much better chance of using our information effectively. And in a way, this is a variation on the theme of the linked data argument, because what it's saying is if we've got that information, let's use it to good effect. Let's inform the strategist, potentially. Let's inform our employers, our agencies, to show where we sit in the bigger picture. RLUK is prepared to put some money in. It would like to see some partnerships. So that's a bigger discussion, I think, with some of the national bodies. It seems to us of some initial discussions, there's certainly, at UCAD, there's certainly scope for taking a two-tier approach to reduce the work from this. Because if you look at the questions in there, you could speed it up by taking data from the aggregators as a first cut. And Nick's response was, well, there's a lot of work that the TNA has already done in the local government domain which would inform this. So I don't think I'd suggest this questionnaire is launched as is. I think we probably ought, if we did it, we did it on a two-tier. But my final question, I think, is do we have the appetite to do something like this now? I have no illusions that this questionnaire is a lot of work. And I sit in an archive of, but presently, which hasn't had too many frozen posts or cuts or whatever. And I can certainly imagine if I sent this out to a colleague who's been really struggling with some of the local government issues that I would want to throw it at me. So I think those are the issues that I would raise as possible questions. But I do think the more we can do on the bigger picture stuff, the more it will support ourselves as a wider community. Thank you.